Hallelujah. Praise God. What a powerful worship tonight. And I just could go on and on. The worship is so good here. Love the worship. Just love it. And love you all. And we're so excited about being back here. I mean, we've missed you. I mean, it's been several years because of COVID and that, but we have missed being here with you. We are just letting you know, we are missionaries now. That's what we're doing. We are at our age, starting all over again. We turned the church over to our sons, and God said it was time to do that and move on to the next thing he has for us. And so just giving you a little background with us. Our sons are doing great. And this morning, Dr. Tom usually does the 8:30 service. And our grandson, Lakin, some of you know Lakin, I think, has been here. He was the speaker of that service, ministered the word of God. And then Christian and Kenzie, who are married, now our grandchildren, and they ran the service, and they moved out in the Holy Ghost and power of God. I mean, you just get so blessed by your grandchildren. We have really all together right now, we have 13 of our grandchildren working at the church. And then our granddaughter, Katie, she's so cute, because her husband's working there. And so she works at home. So she's been now at the office. Instead of working at home, she's with the other cousins and brother and all of that, just to be a part of the group. And so we just love seeing they all love Jesus. Not one of them has been a problem. Not one. Every one of them loved Jesus. So we know how to build strong homes and families. And so that book that he mentioned, The Name of the Game, you should get that, because God gave him that as he was driving along one day. And it is about getting the dysfunctions of your family. That's one of that. And then God visited me all night long years ago, and actually preached a message to me. My degree, my first degree was in nursing, and so talked about the dysfunctions of the enmeshment of families and what it looks like, and God wanted it out of his church. And so anyway, so much of our lives, I'll just quickly share with you, so many of our lives we don't understand. Like Mark Hankin talks about, we were talking about this at lunch, was that, you know, he came to our church when we were youth pastors, another place where we were youth pastors, and he was a youth teacher at that time. So he'd come and teach the youth, but I was young in the Lord, and I think my life got changed more than anybody else. But he talked about, you know, separating your spirit man, the soul, and the body, and how he talked about the realm of the soul that really helps is to understand that your old man died. Now, and so how he said it, it was so helpful that I like to teach it this way. When you talk about family and garbage that is in the soul that we bring into the kingdom. And he said, you know, our old man, he said, he talked about, like, you know, he had an old man and that he knew, and that he was a junk collector, and he gathered all this junk, brought it into his house, and he had all this junk in the house, the garbage, wherever he could get junk. But one day he died. But there's still junk in the house that has to be cleaned out. And so it just helps us that our old person is dead and gone. But in our subconscious, in our soul, there is junk, there is baggage, there is stuff there. That's not who I am. I'm a spirit made in his likeness and image of God. But when the Holy Spirit, when you allow yourself to be counseled by the Holy Spirit and be free in the Holy Ghost, then the Holy Spirit is the one that comes into the house, because you've allowed him to do that, and he's able to say, hey, you know what, this piece of junk, I'm the decorator now. The Holy Spirit's a decorator. He says, you know, this needs to go. And then he replaces it with the kingdom of God. And now all of a sudden, what you've been believing in God can actually flow through your soul and become a reality in your life. It is the junk in your soul that doesn't allow you to obtain what God has already given to you. And so many times we get born again and we bring in the personality addictions of the world, and we bring it in, we get born again and we're bringing this junk into the kingdom instead of living in our new person who we really are. We are trying to make the addictions of the, we call them personality addictions, work in the kingdom. They don't work. You gotta get rid of them. When the Holy Ghost says so, you don't go looking. But the Holy Ghost says, you give them freedom. And you say, God, I seem to have been going around this mountain again and again. And this is what your word says, but this is what is going out on the outward of my house. Well, what you see on the outward is really what's in the inward. So if you want to stop producing that is not what God wants you to produce in your life, then you gotta let the Holy Ghost get rid of it. And that's when you say, Holy Ghost, what is this? Oh my goodness, he's so excited. Let me tell you. And then he'll say, why? He'll say, well, let me take you back to that time when you believed this and you received this as a truth. And then he gets rid of it. Because you say, get it out. I don't want that no more. And fill me up with God, with what he has for me. Hallelujah. I don't know why I went down that direction. But anyway, this is family month. Hallelujah. So it is time to get rid of the things that bring dysfunction within the home. Though you are born again. And so, you know, hey. Let that Holy Ghost, you know, be your counselor. That he's the spirit of truth. He's there to lead you into all truth. But he is also your counselor. Allow him to do his ministry when he wants to. And get him involved. You know, keep your eyes on Jesus. But you go, this is not Jesus over here. This behavior is not Jesus. Producing the wrong fruit here. And, you know, the Holy Ghost is here like he really says, glad you asked. Now let me help you. Let's get rid of that. I've been waiting to get rid of that. But you don't ever go looking. But you know when things are not the way they should be. Hallelujah. I know. I'm just going with God. Sorry. I mean, good. Praise. I'm not sorry. But I know Dr. Tom, when the Lord, we've been saved. He was 1 month in the Lord, and then of course you know this, that God called him to build a Christian school, and we have some of our people in our church that grandchildren are going to that school today. And so, but anyway, so the school all happened. Then we came to Arizona. God called us to Arizona. We lay foundations. That's what happens. Once the foundation of the school is done, God's like, going to Arizona. We got to Arizona, and God says to us one day, now we were in this religious church. Everything was sin. And that's what Dr. Tom was talking about today, is that I just totally went into it. I was an obedient one, okay? And so everything they said was wrong. Oh, it's wrong. Yeah, so everything. Slacks are wrong. Everything. And I laughed one time because I was the nurse for the camp of this church. Everything was sin. And so he came up, and he's going to go down to the lake to swim. And the counselor said to him, you can't go to the lake and swim right now because we don't believe in mixed bathing. And Tom goes, I'm not going to go take a bath. Well, what it was that, you know, girls don't swim with guys and guys don't swim with girls. You know, all these rules. I mean, the only thing you could do in that church was eat. That was it. Okay? So why am I telling you this? So that's what I was, just totally into it. Everything they said, I would not break a rule. I knew every rule there was, and I was in it. And my husband was like, he was the principal of the Christian school, but he said, you're all nuts. I'll play the game, but I don't believe in this religion, this law stuff, okay? And so praise God, he had grace all the way back then. And it was just stupid man-made rules. There wasn't, he was a very godly man, but that kind of stuff was, you know, have anybody been in one of those churches? Okay, you know what I mean. Okay, praise God, we got delivered from that. But God, okay, we're in Arizona, and God says to us that because they believed in poverty was where do you live in, so we were living in poverty. And God said to me, or us, Psalms 122:9 said, seek my prosperity for the sake of the house of the Lord. Oh, for God. Yes, we could do it for God. We didn't want to be materialistic, though. Oh, my gosh. But anyway, then, of course, we heard Fred Price say that God was materialistic. And I went, oh, my gosh. He just said, my God is materialistic. I mean, I was young in the Lord. And I walked away. But he proved it. He said, well, God has streets of gold. Do you? You know, trying to get us out of the religiousness of our life. You know, and so if God has that and you're an heir of God, doesn't he want you to live in wealth also? And has he not given you wealth? So anyway, so that was our journey of coming into the wealth God had. Well, why I'm going there is because I was talking about baggage. I'm not even touching the sermon, but this is the Holy Ghost. And so when God said, my husband came from such poverty that I cannot believe people lived in that kind of poverty. Because I grew up with him. And I mean, he didn't even have a bathroom. He went outside 40 degrees, you know, 40 below zero, and they got outhouses, you know, and no lights. He had land, they didn't have electricity. Who doesn't have electricity? Okay? So you're talking extreme poverty in his life. So we get married. Now, I've never experienced the feeling of lack because I have an inheritance of wealth. Even though I've had lack, I've never experienced the feeling of lack. Okay? So anyway, I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, my husband, every thought he has is poverty. This is going to be a miracle to seek prosperity for the sake of the house of the Lord. But what did he have to do? He had all this baggage in him of poverty. And so he said he just had to constantly just, you know, he'd hear that he have a thought of poverty and you have to call it sin. And he said it took him a year to get out of the bondage of that poverty to now, because we spoke the word all the time, we made a tape all night. I mean, you know, when God says something, we're in. You know, we were doing everything we can and even more so, you know. And he got free of poverty. And now, of course, now his stick is what? To bring wealth wherever he goes. God takes our weakness, sets us free, and then uses it for his glory. So anyway, so let's go into this. So this year, you know, a couple years ago, COVID started, okay? And we are tithers, we're givers, we believe in giving big, you know, to the kingdom, okay? So we're so excited, we got our tithe check, we're going to the church and giving it, you know, getting it in the church and all that. And I'm so happy and so excited, got in the car, COVID just happened, it was March, and we're driving home, and we're on missions now. We're on missions helping. We have 45 churches now under our covering and going there. And all of our ministry right now has been travel and television. We're on television, but television costs money. It doesn't pay for itself. Okay, I don't think I've ever gotten anything on TV, all right? So anyway, so our going out and helping the churches will finance the mission also. So that's all stopped. So we're driving home, and God speaks a word to us. He says, you're not getting the full benefit of your giving. What? Because, you know, and then it was like you start thinking about it, because it was a word of the Lord that starts opening you up and giving you wisdom. Okay, we usually meditate on health scriptures morning and night. We meditate on all the promises that we meditate on through the day. We see it. We build a movie, a vision about that promise. But we give our tithes, our offerings. We pray. We name the seed. And we forget about it. So I knew exactly, and though that Dr. Tom knew what God was saying to us, you need to now meditate it. Morning and night. So then, of course, we do what we always do. we made a card here that is all the benefits of our giving. And then I called my partners into my house, had a little dinner there, and gave them the card, told them what God said to us, and that now we're heading, you know, we're in COVID season here. And so, and you know, I didn't realize how people started crying, all kinds of things, because they've already lost their jobs and no income. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a God moment. I said, here is the card. You need to meditate on this day and night in your tithe and your giving. And we began to do that. Every morning we'd read our card and we would see it and we'd picture it. The Bible says that in your tithe. What does it say? That this is the only place it says this. And we'd meditate. God opens the windows of heaven. And one translation says the floodgates of heaven. The flood, you know, floods just knock you over too much. And you'd see that. You visualize that knocking over of the blessings, that they're too much that you don't have room for them. And then we'd see that, the blessing. And so we'd see, oh my goodness, too much money. You know, supernatural, because what's in the kingdom is always supernatural. So supernatural wealth that Jesus already gave us, but now it's flooding us. It's too much wealth, too much increase, too much health. I mean, I'm so healthy. I'm going to tell you, at my age, I don't take one. I do not take any pharmaceutical drugs. Why? Because we pray the word of health every day. Not when you get sick. But every day we claim our wealth. How you can run your race without health? Hello, you better be healthy. And I have more energy than I had when I was 20. Hallelujah. So, now this outfit I have right now, I never dressed like this, but my husband insisted on it. And I think he had great joy on it because I was already dressed with a dress and heels, and I had to totally change to put this on. But I've done that to him so many times. Tell him, no, you can't wear that. And so he was laughing, like, okay, yeah, how do you like it? Okay, but anyway, this is his idea, okay? So back to this. I don't know why I went into that. Okay, so back to my story. So in the morning, we see the floodgates open. Too much getting on us. Too much health. Too much favor. Too much blessings. Too many open doors to preach the word, because we weren't traveling though. But too many doors open. And television just going and all this stuff, okay? So we're seeing all that. And then at night before you went to bed, we would then begin to go through our card again and see our tithes, see our offerings, and begin to see and dream. Now, when he meditates, you're to dream a dream. You're to make a movie. You're to live it and go there and live it and see all this wealth coming on you, just pouring out of heaven. Well, we made more money in Cova than when we weren't. I mean, even before he made $1 million, the money was rolling in, okay? And so the power of the word. But you know, when you go to bed at night, it is so important. The Bible says meditate daily and nightly, because when you go to bed at night, your subconscious never goes to sleep. And the Holy Ghost doesn't go to sleep. God doesn't sleep or nor slumber. And so when you meditate, the last thing you're thinking about and meditating and visualizing, now the Holy Spirit has something to work with and with your subconscious, and you're creating something. So it's very important what you go to sleep with thinking. Of course, and we play the scriptures all night. We're fanaticals. Okay, so anyway, we love the word. So anyway, so in May, God says to, I think it was somewhere in there, he says to, we're to flip homes. Now, we're not even thinking about COVID. We don't even realize it's COVID. We're living in so much excitement of meditating on our blessings of giving and what God has, and with all the other things we meditate on. So, and then we're seeing the money just come in and to build the ministry, because everything we do is to build the ministry. And so anyway, so he says, sell your house. You're going to flip houses. Oh, okay. So we put our house on the market. Now I didn't even realize it was COVID until somebody pointed it out last week. when I told them, they said, you know, it was during COVID. And I was like, oh, it was, because they came to my house with masks on, you know, looking at our house and that. And our house sold. And then we pulled up to this, I mean, this absolutely phenomenal home, an acre of land. Every toy you'd want on the property was on there. It was an Airbnb, and it was a party house. So it had a huge swimming pool, heated pool, jacuzzi. It had every game there was. It had the you know, the, what do you call it, the basketball courts, and all the stuff that, you know. Anyway, it just had it all. And then the inside had these staircases coming down and all this stuff. We bought that house. Okay, we sold our house for $730 at the time, and we bought that house. What, we sold our house for $750, sorry. $780. We sold our house for $780, got it wrong, and we bought that house for $730. It was a giveaway. It was almost a 6,000 square feet house. Everything you'd want was in that house. Now, it was a Airbnb, and the neighbors told us that was a drunken house full of drugs and whatever, and the neighbors were so glad we were there. Oh my gosh, it was so horrible, the wild parties all the time. Well, you could tell it in the house. A lot of things broke. But then, you know how God is with somebody in your life that you've been in their world since they were 19, and they feel like they flip houses and they have a whole crew to come in and restore the house. And so she has the crew and she took care of it all. So just kind of giving you what's going on. But we're not traveling. So we have time to do this, and we loved every moment of it. And then what happens? He says, I want to make $1 million in a year. Midst of COVID, no traveling for us. $1 million in 1 year. You know that at that time, how hard it was to sell a house? Do you realize that if you did, all these people from California were fleeing California, and they had all this money from California, and they were buying up all the houses. There was really no houses much left. And if you wanted to get a house, you had all these investors that were outbidding you, and the houses were going higher and higher and higher and higher in price, way beyond what they were worth. And so Dr. Thompson, I want to make $1 million in a year. So God says, okay, flip this house. So then we put the house on the market to flip it. And remember, we bought it for $730. I'm sorry, I keep goofing up. $730. Let's go back to $730. And we sold it for $1.2 million. We made over $500,000. Huh? In 8 months. Then we bought another one. So anyway, this is God, though. We pray, and we don't buy a house unless we feel the anointing. We felt God on it. But when you're in God's will, and you're doing, and you're seeing the tithe and the outpouring of the blessings that are knocking you over because it's flooding you down, and it's just too much, that's what happens. So now we turn the corner to this one house that just went on the market. Now, you remember, everything's going quicker, and we're right now having to move out in a couple of weeks and have no house. Sold our house. And we go around the corner, and Dr. Tom goes, that's our house. It's a mansion. It was a mansion. So we go in there, and it's in a stress situation again. The other one was in a real stress situation. They were behind payment, the other one. Now this one's a stress situation. They're in the midst of a divorce, the courts have set the price way under price. Okay. Now the investors are coming in looking at the house. Okay, it was so funny, the builder, can I tell what the builder said? We came in to look, and he said, this investor just came in, want to buy my house. I can flip this and make right now, what did he say, $500,000 right now, put it on the market. And he said, the builder says to me, I built this house, and I'm not selling it to a flipper. Hello. Do you need prayer? He did. He really did. We prayed for him, ministered to him, because it was hard going through a divorce. But anyway, they couldn't settle on who to give the house to. So it had to go back to court. So now the day we're moving, I wake up at 1:30 in the morning and I see my phone. And I have a text message from our realtor, and I open it up and she says, just to let you know, the courts picked you. We had a house. I mean, Scott didn't know how long. That's my son, because we're moving in with him. And I said, we have no house. So I don't know how long we're going to be with you. And he's like, oh, we got a house. But he made $1,000,001 in 9 months altogether. Not even a year. During COVID. I'm just wanting you to know that when you meditate, get the full benefit of your giving. Name your seed, but begin to see it. It's already yours. Everything in heaven, the word tells us, out of the TPE says, it's already been lavished upon you. And so what I want to talk about is this meditation, our prayer, and how do we go about our prayer life? And this is what it says in 1 John 5:14 and 15. Since we have this confidence, what confidence do we have? Stop and think about what confidence. Dr. Tom said this morning, meditate on that. What confidence do we have? Well, first of all, that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus, that we are in him now. We are new covenant people of grace. He's already did all the work, and now we are now living in the kingdom with him, seated in heavenly places with him, and all the blessings are yes and no. I mean, all the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. In him, you're in him, he's in you, he's the word, you abide in the word abides in you, and it's yes and amen. All because of what he did. That's your confidence. That's your confidence. We're not of this world, the Bible says. We are of the kingdom of God now. We are citizens of heaven. We are members of God's household. Father God is my father, and I'm an heir of him. Everything is of his is mine, and he just lavishes on it. I am the firstborn of the grave because Jesus is the firstborn. He's the head, and I'm the body, and that means I get a double portion of the blessings. That means life and life more abundantly. That means supernatural blessings. Not natural, but supernatural and too much. So that's my confidence. It's already mine. It's my title deed. I'm a co-heir with Christ, right? So meditate. Now, what's the next? There's two confidence. The second thing is that the Bible says this in Deuteronomy, and I learned this from Andrew Womack. Years ago, I think I was 30 years old when he preached this, and it was like, because I was the one that was, I don't know if you ever were this person, but I was the over performer, okay? I had to get the A and the A plus and even more, okay? So that was who I was. So when I got born again, came into the kingdom, guess what? How I was. God gave us a destiny to do, and I go, I can do it. Just give it to me. No, Jesus can do it. I had to get free of that, okay? That baggage had to go because it's what he did, not what I do. So the next confidence is this. Deuteronomy 28, the blessings, the first 1 through 15 says, if you fully obey the Lord your God, all these blessings will come upon you. They will track you down. They'll overtake you. That's what it means there. And you're blessing the city, blessing the country. Your children are blessed. Whatever your hands touch is blessed. And on and on. And if the enemy comes in one direction, he flees in seven. And so all these blessings are yours. But you can't fully obey God. We're imperfect beings. Jesus fully obeyed God, and I'm in his works, and so my confidence is that I am blessed because Jesus fully obeyed God. And in the new covenant, it's blessing and blessing. It's not blessing and curse. Jesus took the curse on his body on the cross of Calvary, and he paid the curse in full for us. And he fulfilled the law for us. And we're in his obedience, never ours. Oh, my goodness. So we're fully confident in these two things. We should be. Because we live in the kingdom of God. We don't live on this earth. We've severed all the ties. We are now in the kingdom. Who is our family? Where do we live? We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. I'm connected to my Abba Father, Jesus. I'm married to Christ Jesus. He said, I died to the law. Now I belong to Christ who was raised from the dead. I bear fruit unto my Father God by the Spirit of God. I have the Holy Ghost that is my guide, my leader, my teacher, my counselor. This is what he does for me. He's interceding for me according to the will of God. Searches all things, even the deep things of God. Tells me what God has really given me. Oh, my gosh. And what is yet to come? And then, what did Jesus say? Who's my family? Those that do the will of God. I'm totally connected to the body of Christ. We're knitted together in love. We're joined together, the body of Christ. I'm not independent. I'm not separated. I'm connected. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. That's where his power is at. It's in your connection to one another, built on the, right? Holy dwelling for God's Spirit to live. You know, built on the prophet and the apostle with Christ Jesus, the key, chief cornerstone, right? Confidence. I got to move on, don't I? Oh, my gosh. Okay, let's go. So we can also have full, great boldness before him if we ask anything in agreement, right, to his will. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, right? We also know that we have obtained the request we asked of him. I love this scripture. I've used this from the time I got saved. Okay, wait a minute here, God. If I pray your will is your word. So if I pray your word, I meditate, I dream on that, I see that, you hear me. Okay, you've heard me now. If I know you've heard me, I have whatever I've asked for. And so I see it as this. Everything in heaven is like in a bank for you. All the wealth, everything is there. Jesus has already co-signed for you. It's already signed. With his blood, he already paid for it in full. All he's waiting for is your signature of agreement. That's it. And it comes out of your meditation and the words you say, speaking it out. So you got to speak it out. So he says that if you abide, you know, right? If you live in a life union with me, that's what Jesus, he's saying this in John 15:7, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be yours. Now, I'm going to give you a story here. So God talked to my husband while he's making coffee, but he talked to me while I was going down the hall. I'm walking down the hall, and God speaks to me and says, you're passive. I want to give you the desires of your heart. And that alone, I'm sitting there going, my desires? I don't even know what they are. I just want your desires. I want to give you desires of your heart. But you're passive, and you let the devil steal them from you. I don't even know what they are. What would I desire? I don't know. And so then God began to share with me, well, you reap what you sow. Your heart has been for my dreams, for my desires, and you have been in that for me. Now, I want to give you yours. That's what he said, delight yourself in the Lord, and I will give you desires of your heart. So, but you're passive. Well, why was I passive? Now I had to learn how not to be passive. And the first thing was, the first challenge I have, because God said he would give it to me, not somebody else. So I'm going, so right away, somebody in the family is going to do the Thanksgiving meal. Well, every year I've done the Thanksgiving meal, but times have changed. And so they're doing it, which is good. Praise God. Hallelujah. You didn't see that, did you? But anyway, but I always do family pictures, and that's for my Christmas card for Word for Winners now. And so I call that person and say, hey, you know, I just let you give you a heads up. I'd like to do family pictures there. And she said, no, that won't work. Okay, I hang up. And see, passivity would have been, okay, didn't work. Then I realized God said, and I said, my desire is I have to have family pictures for the Christmas card. So God, you said you'd give me my desires. Now, you have to know this person. They don't ever change their mind. So it'd be a miracle if they ever changed their mind in it. Okay, they're that kind of person. Okay, the next day I get a text. Hey, I think we could make it work. God, yay! So all of a sudden I'm there. Now, why I had, you know, when I talked about enmeshment, let's go there a little bit. I'm not going to really talk about enmeshment. But when you come from a dysfunction home that can be very violent, children can take on this. They call it survival state. All right. Is that it's like if a murderer came into your home and, you know, he's going to threaten your life. Everybody says, well, do what you ever say. Well, just don't hurt us. Don't kill us. Don't hurt us. Well, that's what a child can go into, survival state. But when they get out of that, they still operate in that. They wake up every day and say, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. Well, I came from a very violent home. And God began to show me, because why am I passive? And God went, you know, God started showing me, well, you were passive there. The devil stole from you. And like I go, okay, I'm done. I don't understand. I've been like this all my life. You're going to have to tell me. Then he says, you were as a child. That's what I did, survival state. You know, I'll do whatever the family says. What can I? How can I please? I'll be that famous. I'll be that best student in school. I'll get that straight A. I'll keep everybody's happy. Well, God shows me that in life, when, you know, if it's about God and what God wants me to do, oh, I'm a fighter. But when it's what I would want, or, you know what I mean, I go passive. I don't want to ruffle anything. I'm just whatever everybody wants, I'm happy, good. God said, you got to get free of that. And I got free. That baggage, he went right in. The Holy Ghost said, it's time for that to go, Maureen. Let's get it out of you, and let's fill it up with that, you know, what does the Bible say? The enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, right? And you need to be alert. And then it was like I received the alertness of the Holy Ghost, and I'm on, you know, I'm high alert now. I'm on high alert. So I just even said, American Airlines is a little goofy right now, you know. And so now you have to be on high alert. We're flying to Boston. They're going to pick us up at traffic time. Sorry about that, Pastor. But high alert is this. We get to the airport. We have no delay. The airplane's there. We get on the plane. We get to Boston safely. The angels are around. We land. There is Ed and Pastor Ed and Judy, excuse me, Pastor Ed and Judy picking us up. We're here and we're preaching the word. Seeing it ahead, calling it forth, okay? Only 2 minutes? Okay. Didn't even get to the message yet. So I hope this is helping you. Is this helping you? Okay. Can I keep going? What does Pastor Ed say? Okay, I want to. You're not supposed to do that. I know I'm not. I know better than that, but I'm going to keep going. Okay, Hebrews 6:18. I want you to see this, okay? Because this is what God is working on me, because on hope, really meditating on the scriptures of hope, because we're building our destiny. And so let's talk about hope. You know, our hope says, I hope so. That's not God's hope, because our hope will disappoint us. God's hope never fails. God's hope will never disappoint you, because God's hope is grabbing a promise of God, the seed of God. And so faith begins with that. Faith is a substance. There's substance there. There's a promise there that is hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. So hope is always in the future, and then you bring it into the now. You know that. But this scripture is what I'm meditating on, because God is explaining to us the power of hope. It is impossible for God to lie, for we know that his promises and his vows will never change. So now, first of all, we're talking about hope here. God cannot lie, ever. All right? And he made a vow with the promises so they cannot change. Okay, so we get that down in our heart. Then he goes on to say this. And now we run into his heart. Okay, wait a minute here. We're talking about hope. So I grab onto a promise now. And I, what do? I go into God's heart. And what am I going to do? Meditating on his faithfulness. Well, what faithfulness is, like for us? Okay, God, you were faithful. I remember when we started Living Word Bible Church in that little tiny house in Apache Junction. You couldn't walk. You were outside if you preached. And how you took us from that little house to then the strip mall. The strip mall, I got that right. You got the strip mall, and then we took us to another strip mall, and then you said it was time to buy something. We didn't have any money to buy it, but it was a lumber company that was selling their property. They owned it, and we went there, and we asked them for it. We knew it was God, and they loaned us their money to buy it. So you go back, and God, you were faithful there. And this was everything was a miracle there. And then this miracle and that miracle. And then, but along the way, Dr. Tom was dreaming the building that you see today. From the beginning, he was dreaming the domes and what they would look like. And he'd walk through them, and he'd make a movie, and he was going through them. And the chairs were one day, they were red, and then they were green, and then they became blue. They ended up blue. What color did they end up? Blue, yes. Sorry, our church. And the domes, and people would say, oh, that can never happen. You can't build those. But yet, God. And then, yes, it all happened. And everything was a miracle. But he was living it and walking through it and meditating on it. And what was I doing? Oh, my goodness. I said to myself, we know nobody. We didn't go to the school with any of the big guys. We don't know them. We read their books. We meditate. But you know, God, you wanted this to be a big church. I like big church. And, you know, touch people's lives and change them and powerful and bring in the big speakers. And those anointings would just touch the people and change their life. We'd have like a conferences here. And so I began to dream. And I began to dream that Oral Roberts would come to the church. And that Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Aplanis and Charles Capp and Mark Hankins, because we already knew. And Andrew Womack. We already knew Andrew, though. We didn't know him. And he did come right away. And guess what happened? Faithfulness. Just going back now and meditating. Here we're building a whole new ministry at our age on scratch. Hallelujah. And meditating on this. And what happens? It says, and it all happened. And Oral Roberts actually had us come stay in his home. They all came, okay? Kenneth Copeland was the last one. He was the hardest one to get, okay? But anyway, so we're dreaming, seeing, and the church got huge and big, and we had 15,000. We were in a magazine every year for 5 years, the fastest growing church in America. One of the fastest, I think out of 10. Dream big, save life, see God, build his work. Okay, now our kids have it. So then what happens? You get strong, it says, in that faithfulness, in his heart, meditating on what he did in the past, and start thanking him in your dream. And then what happens? You get strong, you're full of comfort because you're in his peace, you're in his rest. And then you get the strength, the miracle strength of God now, to grab on to what God has already given you in the kingdom of God that's already been established for your tomorrows. That's the unshakable hope, it says. Cause it is up there, unshakable hope. And I probably won't read those other scriptures, I don't have time. But going on to the unshakable hope, it says this. At verse 19, up there, verse 19. We have the certain hope. Say certain. Hope. Like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding your soul. Where is it? Your mind, your will, emotion, your soul to God. Holding you there. So doubt and unbelief can't enter you. You're in that place. It's an anchor that's holding you steadfast. You're not tossed tossed and through from every wind of doctrine, tossed in something. Okay, and so anyway, let's move on. Anchor, holding yourself. Okay, our anchor of hope. What is that? The anchor of what? Hope. Oh my gosh, I feel God all over right now. Is fastened to the mercy seat in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold. So that hope now, all right, is an anchor that God fastens it to the mercy seat. What the mercy seat? Jesus' blood was put on that mercy seat 7 times and made a blood covenant with Father God and with him. The blood that never fails, the blood that's still alive, this blood that still speaketh, the blood that's all powerful, his very blood is right there and goes into where Christ Jesus. I listen to this scripture. Oh my goodness. And so I walk in through this every morning in my prayer, these scriptures, and I'm seeing and I'm visualizing and I'm seeing that happen because we are now. We're in the process of building something new for the kingdom of God. And so what is the next thing? And Dr. Tom does it too. We love to pray together in the morning and 3 or 4 hours. But see, we don't have kids. So we can sit there with our coffee and pray. We have all these scriptures we got to pray and meditate on. So we got a lot. So what's going on? Anyway, it goes on here to say, where am I? Here it is. And when Jesus, our forerunner, that's where he is. That's where he is, right in that Holy of Holies. What is he doing? He ever lives the intercede for you and I. What is he interceding? Well, here it is. Has gone in before us. Verse 20 there. They got it up, verse 20. Okay. Gone in before us where our royal priest like Melchizedek. Okay. Now go back, Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a picture of Christ Jesus. So let's go back to what happened with Melchizedek. Well, Melchizedek brought the bread and the wine that was a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Wasn't it the blood and the body? And Melchizedek blessed him. It was Christ Jesus. It was a picture of Christ Jesus was blessing him. Abram. And Abram gave his tithe. Oh my goodness. I saw it. The only place in the Word that it mentions the heavens are open, pouring out blessings. We can't contain. The floodgates are open, and it's under the Abrahamic covenant that you're seeing it there. And And he gave his tithe to really Christ Jesus. And now we're giving our tithe to Christ Jesus. And he's saying the blessings of the heaven is open and overtaking you. And what God, Jesus, is speaking over your life is now being released to you in the fullness out of your tithe. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. You got to be a giver. You got to be a giver. And if you can't give, it's because you have a spirit of poverty or fear of lack, and you feel lack. But the only way you're going to get out of all of this is you got to give. Oh, hallelujah. You got to give. You got to meditate on the benefits of your giving so you can get rid of the poverty to come into all this wealth that's already yours in the kingdom. It's not what you can afford when you begin to give in the kingdom. It's what he can afford. Changes that changes everything. Oh, I think I can afford this. And that. No. You're in the kingdom now. It's what Jesus can afford. What can God afford for you? He's speaking that over your life. Oh, my gosh. Wow. I mean, I just got so excited. I just ran around the room. I started out meditating on our benefit of giving day and night. We make $1 million. Then God says, meditate on hope. And then I realized, oh my goodness, our giving is so much a part of the hope of God that now brings us into God-like faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. It's in the supernatural, but it opens the heavens, pours it out, that it's just too much. I go, God, this is just too much. I look at the church that was built in 201, that's the domes, and we'd go up there, we'd look and say, God, this is too much. It's too much. So I hope this is ministered, but I want to pray for you. You know, we come to give, and I don't know if Dr. Tom has something he wants to pray, but freely we receive, we want to impart. And as we are meditating and coming into the increase and the wealth that God has, we want to impart that to you. Paul said, I want to come that I might impart some gifts to you. I want to impart that freedom of that freedom into great wealth into you, that you begin to think, I'm at a different level. And so, Dr. Tom, we talk about this. We're at the level of seeing things in the supernatural realm of the kingdom. And when you see it there, it's too much. And I know that God wants you to live there because you want to be able to write out a check and pay off a church, and you want to be able to write out a check and pay off an orphanage. You want to help the ministry. You want this church to have its own land and church. But if you had the money, you could do it. Oh, don't worry about it, Pastor Ed and Judy. I'll just write out the check. And you can just go buy what God is telling you to buy. The devil don't want you to find this. Now, I want to say this one thing to you. Can I? I know, but we're going to minister. Hallelujah. What God showed me, as God started with us, come, you know, for the sake of his kingdom, seek his prosperity. I was 30 years old when he gave us that word. And as we gone along, and I don't think we hardly even owned a car at the time. I don't know. But where we are today is God. But God. But God showed me this way. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. That's greed. And you know, I'll do whatever evil I can do to get all the money for me, myself, and I. Okay, that's greed. But the other side of money is this. It's a picture of love. God says, if somebody comes to you in need and you say, you know, go and be fed, and you don't give them anything and say, I will pray for you. God says, where is the love of God in that? So one side can be greed when it's all about you. But when it's all about others and building his kingdom, it's a picture of love. Have you ever seen that when you sit? Dr. Tom and I are big. We love to give. So we go to a restaurant. We always give big. And you know, that waitress or that waiter, they lighten up. They always want us to sit at their table. We come in, oh, sit at our table. Why? Because what did they feel from us? Love. We cared about them and their bills and their life and what's going on. And because of that, we have a voice of Jesus to them. Money is a sign of love. Makes his name great. Hallelujah. Well, if you want to stand and we want to impart to you, is there anything God's putting on your heart, honey? I already got it. Okay. Stand up. If you want, and not everybody has to stand. Yeah, let's put it this way. If you want to get free, free will. Okay. If you want to get free of poverty and come into seeing things the way we're seeing it in the kingdom, supernatural wealth, because that's what he has for you. He already gave it to you. The Bible says this, those that please the Lord, that's faith, we're faith people. I give you wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. I love this scripture. But to the sinner, I give them the task of gathering the wealth and storing it up to hand it over to you. To you that pleases the Lord. Every house we got was from the sinner handing it over to us, that wealth. And God doesn't want them to have the wealth, the sinner, because they would use it for bad. But God wants you to claim that wealth because you will use it for good, to build the kingdom. It's our responsibility. Every sinner out there that, you know, we want them to get saved, but if they're, whatever, the wealth they're gaining, your name is on that wealth. And I say that, God, money come, but come on, you sinners, hand over that money. Hallelujah. So let's pray, and hallelujah. Do you want to start out the prayer?
I was just thinking about the wealth of the wicked laid up for the just. Now, you heard her testimony, our testimony. They were situations that were difficult. They were critical situations that we were able to buy into because of divorce, because of potential loss, because of COVID. The first house, COVID had come along and they couldn't rent the house anymore. And this house rented for as much as $1,000 a night. I mean, it was no small place. And so, and they rented to the boat bay for, because we have the spring league and all the baseball teams and out there in Phoenix. And so she made a ton of money, but COVID came. Now you say, well, it's like taking advantage. The Bible says the wealth of the world, that's maybe a better word than wicked, wealth of the world, they have worked and laid it up, just like in the promised land, they had built the cities and dug the wells and had built houses. And God said, it's yours. It doesn't sound fair. Well, fair does not exist. Come on, fair does not exist. Get over that. There's nothing fair about anything. It is completely about the wealth of the world has been gathered for the just that are just enough to go get it. Are you? Just think about it. You say, well, I don't want to take advantage of it. Shut up. The kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of this world. They'd take it from you, baby. I know that didn't set well with you, but that's all right.
You want to pray anything? Okay. You want to? Okay. Hallelujah. We're in agreement. He's having me pray the prayer. So right now, hallelujah. Let's repeat after me. Dear Father God, I ask you to forgive me of that spirit of poverty, the spirit of lack, and I command it to go. I repent of it. Holy Ghost, take it out of me. In the name of Jesus, uproot it totally. Oh, there's the power of God hitting right now. See it gone, and the fire of the Holy Ghost just burn up the shaft of that in you. Gone, and the religious spirit go. Has to go now. Say goodbye to it. Nuh-uh. Call it sin. You don't want that. Ooh, there's the power right there. There's something getting free of religious spirits right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name now. Oh, my goodness. I feel miracles happening right now. You'll never be the same. Now, Father God, now fill those areas up with your wealth. Jesus became poor that they could be wealthy, that they could be rich. They opened up and they received the wealth of heaven, the wealth of the kingdom, the wealth of the sinner come to them. They say yes to the wealth. Yes, yes, God, it's mine and I receive the wealth of yours. God, hallelujah, you have lavished your wealth upon me. You've given me too much. And I receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Just receive it. Just see it. Just the floodgates are open, pouring out on you wealth. 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 Too much wealth. Too much wealth. Hallelujah. Father God, now I just pray for those that are standing now to, Father God, give themselves to the benefits of their giving. That they will say, yes, I need to meditate and day and night in my giving. And I need to let that grow in me, and grow in me until it just too much in me becomes a reality in the fullness of time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the fullness of time. It will become that reality. And oh, there's God. Jesus came in the fullness of time, the word that comes to you in the fullness of time. Hallelujah. See that well. See that well. Jesus, anything else I should pray? Just right now, just see it, the flood open. See it pour it out on you. See it knock you over. There's too much, too much, too much coming to you. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray the sinner's prayer.
Poverty attitude, I command you out of every heart and every mind. And the attitude of poverty, let it go tonight in Jesus' name. It's an attitude. It's got to get out of the soulless realm. Let it go. The Holy Ghost is speaking to you right now, just as she taught. You know it's there. Well, I can't afford it. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, we can't do that. Oh, we can't have that. Oh, we. That's poverty. That's not God. God said, yes, you can. If you'll let me. Come on, somebody. Ooh, I feel an anointing now. You're getting a hold of it. Come on. Come on, get that poverty thinking out of your heart in Jesus' name and start thinking prosperity. And the way it happens is confess that those scriptures, that scripture cards we have out there, just on wealth. Just start speaking it every morning and every night. And watch what happens in your life. Even if you did one scripture every morning and every night, it'd change your whole life. Because the power is in the Word of God. The power is in the Word of God. And I release that prosperity mentality and heart to every single heart that is willing to receive tonight in Jesus' name. It's territory I took from poverty to wealth, and I can freely give it to you. That's what my Bible says, and you can receive it freely tonight. In Jesus' name.
Wow. Oh, hallelujah. Just start just bathe in that anointing right now and receiving it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, you're the counselor here now. To anything in their soul They, you show them, and they can now get rid of it and show them why that's there in their lives as they go home. Hallelujah, about their day. God, is there anything else we need to pray? Is somebody here that you have weak legs? Sometimes weakness comes over your legs. God is healing you of that right now. Freely, God sent his word and healed you. Just lift up your hand and say, yes, sometimes my legs just feel so weak. So, okay, I see those hands right now. He sent his word and healed you. Just receive that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Say no to that weak knees or weak legs. Say no. It's gone. Goodbye. Just wave goodbye to it. Do something you couldn't do before. Do that, but you receive it. It's done. Supernatural power goes forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow, I see those hands. Okay. Anything else, God, that you want to minister to your people right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, thank you, God. So just repeat after me. Dear Father God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I ask your son Jesus come into my heart, be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer, and maybe the first time you prayed it, you need to tell somebody, because when you pray that prayer, you become a child of God, born again. And you need to tell somebody because you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. Hallelujah. I'll turn it over to Pastor Judy. Hi, don't you love these people? If God moved me here, this would be my church. Hallelujah.